side is way more spiritual than that side because they're all sitting in the front. No, but we're glad you're here. We're glad you made the trek out to Lamoka. And just a couple of housekeeping issues. Waterfront is open, but if you have kids, you are responsible. There is no lifeguard on duty, so please make sure that someone adult is watching them for their protection and their safety. Everything else is available to you in terms of camp facilities. The only thing that is closed, there's no climbing wall or a zip line, those kind of things, because there's no one here certified to do that. So sorry if you were hoping to do that, that is not available today, but the rest of the camp facilities are open. So we are continuing our series, Season in the Minors. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 2. All right, sorry, the last verse of chapter 2 and then the rest of chapter 3. And about four or five people sent me a link this week. There was a guy, a lobsterman, a diving lobsterman, which is unique because I've never heard of them, but actually got swallowed and then spit out by a whale. It was on Fox News and some other places. So if you want to go check that out. He's not the first, by the way. There are others in recorded history who have had that experience. Not truly Jonah. They didn't spend 3 days in there, but they were swallowed and then regurgitated. But just so you know that, you know, these things are miraculous, but they're not really. God has created things that are able to do that, created fish and or whales. So last week we talked about the fact that God would rather have you anywhere, living anywhere, than in disobedience. And that's what he dealt with Jonah about. And the other thing we started out talking about last week was that the belly of the fish is not a great place to live, but it is a great place to learn. And hopefully you learn along with Jonah. And we learned the facts that what happens when our rebellion fails? What do we do when we fail? You start by getting unstuck. You start by getting unstuck and you start by paying attention to what God is doing. That's what Jonah was challenged with and that's what we were challenged with. God got Jonah's attention. You think, well, that's way too far to be swallowed by a whale. But God got Jonah's attention. Nothing's too radical. Nothing's too far. How far will he have to go to get yours? Has he gone far enough? Are you waiting and saying, no, God, I really don't want to pay attention to you. You got to go farther to get my attention. And, you know, we just talked about the fact that that's just in the Bible. We saw this week, that's not just in the Bible, that those things happen. And we would say, well, that just happened. But in reality, God is the sovereign. He is in control of everything. Nothing is too radical for God to get Jonah's attention. Nothing's too radical for God to get yours or mine. We also get unstuck by praying. We got unstuck by praying. When is the last time you prayed? Had an honest conversation with God. Not a superficial one, not at a meal. Not that you shouldn't pray at meals. That's not what I'm saying. Not just saying, God, this is what I would like you to do for me today. This is how I would like you to make my life better. But one where you honestly talk to God about you, about where you're struggling, where you're sinning, and saying, I need help. We also get unstuck by admitting that where our rebellion has taken us. That it didn't happen. We didn't get into this situation by chance. We chose. We chose to do what God said not to do, or we chose not to do what God said you should do. Where's the last time you were honest with God about your choices, about where your choices to ignore, to run, to rebel, your sin has taken you? We also get unstuck when we honestly confess why we rebelled. We confronted with the fact that everybody worships last week. You don't get it. It's not do you worship or don't you worship. Everybody worships. The choice you make is who or what you worship. And we saw Jonah worshiped himself. He worshiped his desires, his plans, his goals. So the question before us last week was, who or what are you and I worshiping? Not what do you say you worship, because Jonah told the sailors, I serve, I worship the Lord God who made heaven and earth. But what do you actually worship? If someone looked at your life, how you spend your time, your money, your resources, and he said, I'm just going to examine what you do, not what you say, what would they determine you and I worship? Who or what is your God? You want to know how you can determine that for yourself? What are you running from? What are you running after? Where are you looking for safety and security? Where are you looking for meaning, for fulfillment? What do you believe? This. I want this. It will make me happy when I have this. That's how you can figure out who or what you worship. We also get unstuck by acknowledging that God is the only one who can help. We need his help. Like Jonah thought obeying is optional, Is that how you consider it? You look at God's word, God's instructions, and say, that's an option. One option. God says, do this. That's an option. God says, don't do this. Well, that's an option. What are you looking at God's word, God's instructions, saying, that's optional? Where are you living apart from God and his word? You don't care what he says, or it's just an option. Where are you stuck and need help? Where are you stuck like Jonah because you are still running? You are still choosing things that God says no and you say yes, or he says do and I say nah, not gonna. What choice did God speak to you about last week? What choice did he speak to you about? Were you just a hearer? We all heard, if you were here last week, you all heard from God. Did you remember or forget what he said? Were you a doer or just a hearer? So, that catches you up on chapter 2. When you hear the word Jonah, it's all about God. Somebody's fantastic. Jonah isn't about the fish. It's not Jonah and the whale. It's all about God. One of the other options that someone will tell me, or when I've had this conversation, is Jonah is about second chances. Jonah's about second chances. Now, as I was thinking about this, that idea this week, there's a lot of, if you Google second chances or you hear people express, well, this is what a second chance is, or this is why it's important. Here's some words of wisdom that I came across. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. I'm sure most of you have heard that, right? Make your second chance count, or make the most of your second chance. Every day, every moment, every breath, every heartbeat is a second chance. Now, those are some good advice, good wisdom, but then if you start digging into this idea of second chances, there's people that contradict each other when they talk about second chances. Like, everyone deserves a second chance, but you shouldn't give everyone a second chance. Some people don't deserve a second chance. And I came across some quotes. I'm not promoting what they said. I'm just giving you what they said. One of them is from John Wayne. A man deserves a second chance, but keep an eye on him. So you see, once you fail once, John Wayne's telling you, well, maybe you shouldn't trust this guy. Give him a chance, but keep a better eye on him. Here's one that made me chuckle. I believe in second chances, but I don't believe in third or fourth chances. And that's from Selena Gomez. Again, I'm not promoting what they said, but the idea is saying, well, you get one chance, one second chance, and then that's it, no more. Now, this is human ideas, human wisdom, human perspective. What about God? What does God say or think about second chances? What is a biblical perspective or biblical wisdom about second chances? Now, you will come across, or maybe you have, the idea that God is a God of second chances. If you actually dig into that, there's kind of another side of that coin that says God is not a God of second chances. So I was trying to figure out which is the right answer. Someone paraphrased Job 33:29 this way. Our God is a God of second chances. Yes, God does these things, talking about what happened in chapter 33, again and again for his people. So the person who paraphrased this would say, yes, God is a God of second chances. And if you watch the VeggieTale movie, there's a song in there entitled God is a God of Second Chances, and there's lots of cool backup singers in sparkly outfits. All while Jonah is sitting in the belly of the whale, and we wrestled with that last week. But on top of that, if you Google Jonah, about this, the God of Second Chances, people have taught the entire book of Jonah is this theme, God is the God of Second Chances. But go to the first book of the Bible. Adam and Eve, they had one rule, right? One rule. Don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, it's always pictured as an apple, or often we don't know what kind of fruit it was. But God said, don't eat that fruit. When they ate the fruit, what happened? Did he give them a second chance? No. He kicked them out. He cursed them. He cursed the land. He cursed the snake. And he said, guess what? You're going to die. So is God a God of second chances, or isn't he? Well, I think it depends on how you define second chances, what you mean by it. If you mean we get a second chance, or we get second chances to be perfect, to try to meet God's standard, then no, God is not a God of second chances. Because if you need a second chance to be perfect, you're not perfect. If you need a second chance to be perfect, you aren't perfect. But if you say God doesn't immediately give us what we deserve and earn for our sin, our disobedience, and rebellion, then yes, God is a God of second chances. We may see or experience God doing this and say humanly, well, that's a second chance from God. But the Bible doesn't call it a second chance. Biblically speaking, this is called being given grace. Grace, getting what you don't deserve and haven't earned. With the idea or thought of grace in mind, open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and then we'll read that verse and then on into chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 says, "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Chapter 3, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry out mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Verse 10, "Then God saw their works. They turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." So this morning, as we think about the idea of grace and God giving grace or giving a second chance through grace, we're going to find out 6 ways that God gives grace to rebels, both ourselves and to Jonah and to the people of Nineveh. Let's pause and ask God to help us hear from him this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the history of this camp, for those who invested and served so many years ago to set it up and who have maintained it throughout. Lord, I thank you for the ministry that's going to go on here this year. We thank you for opening doors and removing barriers with viruses and requirements and just taking so much action to help not only this camp but others as well be able to return to regular, normal camp ministry. Lord, as we open your word, as we see and hear from Jonah and the city of Nineveh, Lord, help us to recognize the grace you give us. The grace that you give us each moment of every day. The grace that brought us here in safety. The grace that we have to fellowship and enjoy life this afternoon. And the grace that you give us to go to homes and to family and to jobs this coming week. Lord, as we see that grace, may you convict, confront, challenge us with the fact of how much of it we take for granted and how much of the not only just moment by moment everyday grace but the grace that you give us in light of our sins, in light of how sinful, how dirty, how evil, how just how bad we really are. We often try to overlook it or ignore it, but it's only by your grace that we are standing here and alive today in light of our sins. Lord, speak through me. Allow the people here, those online or who may listen later, to hear your word through me. Allow the technology to work well, to be a tool in your hands, to accentuate, to make the message of Jonah more effective. We thank you for the time we'll have of fellowship later. May it be honoring to you. May we talk about what you are teaching us, where we are growing, and where we are seeking to be more like your son. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. 6 ways that God gives grace to rebels. The first way we're going to see is he gives undeserved mercy. Now, we just said grace is getting what you don't deserve and haven't earned. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, not getting what you have earned. So they go hand in hand. God gave Jonah grace and mercy when he ran, when he got on the boat, when he threw the storm at Jonah, when the lot fell on Jonah, when he was thrown overboard and he gave Jonah grace when he was swallowed by the fish. Jonah didn't deserve any of those things. Even in the fish, after starting to repent, Jonah doesn't deserve mercy. He deserves punishment. He deserves consequences. He deserves to be digested. But he gets spit up on land. He got to live. He got grace. Scripture records over and over and over again how God gives grace to people. And I'm just going to mention a few. Adam and Eve, we talked about already. They deserved immediate death, but God gave them grace. Cain, who killed Abel, deserved death. He was given grace. Abraham and Sarah, for the things that they did, the way they lied and deceived, they deserved death. God gave them grace. David and Bathsheba, the nation of Israel in Judges, throughout the prophets, in Exodus, a hard-hearted individual. No matter if they're even mentioned in Scripture, the prophets, Peter and Paul, Jonah wasn't perfect, Hosea wasn't perfect, they all deserved something other than they got. Despite Jonah's sin, disobedience and rebellion, despite the fact that he had anger in his heart and was rebelling, God not only gave him mercy, but he gave him grace, just like he gives you and I. John chapter 1, when talking about and introducing the Savior, Jesus Christ talks about it this way. We have all received grace upon grace. The picture here is God gives you mercy and grace each and every time you sin. It's like the ocean. The next wave is coming in. It's not that there's never any, you get one wave and that's it. Grace upon grace, wave after wave, each and every time we sin. Just think about this. If you went over the speed limit on your way here today, God gave you grace. You broke the law, you sinned. If you take a lunch break that is too long, you get grace because you deserve something else. If you leave work early or come in late, you get grace. When you look at someone, what someone else has and says, I want that, I'm coveting that, God gives you grace. When you lust after someone who is not your spouse, God gives you grace. When you take the Lord's name in vain, when you are selfish, when you are proud, when you are bitter, when you are angry, when you are gossiping, when you are speaking harshly, when you are criticizing and cutting other people down, God gives you grace. God gives you grace and mercy each and every time you sin. And the most important way, in the most important time he did this, the greatest, the ultimate way, is through his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross. What have you done, first and foremost, with God's gift of grace? What have you done with Jesus Christ? Now, how do you view that? How do you respond to it? What are you doing with this amazing, undeserved, and unearned gift? So I want to ask you this way. Do you have a Romans 6:1 view of God's grace or Romans 6:2? And you say, Pastor Brian, I have no idea what those verses say. So here's Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase or abound, depending on your translation? There is so much grace. It's just wave after wave. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. God's going to give me grace. Is that your approach to God's grace? Or is it the second verse? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? The idea that may it never be, depending on your translation, it could be certainly not, absolutely not, by no means, God forbid, that is unthinkable. Which approach do you have to grace? 6:1, Romans 6:1, or Romans 6:2? I'm going to sin because I'm going to get grace no matter what. Or I'm just so amazed by the fact that God has given me grace, I don't ever want to sin again to the best of my abilities. Now, we could stop right here and have a great message, be challenged, and be happy. And I'd be done early, and you guys would be really happy. But not stopping there because of the amazing amount of grace, there's more to it. That doesn't just stop with what Jesus did on the cross. We just saw all the mercy and grace God has given Jonah and us. None of it's deserved, and God didn't give, or God didn't have to do any of it. Look back at verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto land. So the fish spits Jonah out, okay? He doesn't deserve that. He deserves to be digested or to be drowned. But I believe that while the fish is doing this and Jonah's getting grace, he's taking the Romans 6:1 and saying, this is my approach to grace. Thanks for the ride back to the shore. I'm good now. Okay? I'm glad that's over. I'm going to do what God wants, but there's no way he's going to send me to Nineveh ever again. He's going to have to send someone else. God gives grace to rebels. He recalls some of them to the mission they rejected, and that's what he's going to do with Jonah. Look at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." God says exactly the same words as chapter 1. He gives Jonah exactly the same mission, another opportunity. We'd say a second chance, an opportunity to make a different choice. If you are told by your parents, go mow the lawn, go clean the room, go take out the garbage, or you're told by your boss, here's your project, get it done by Friday, or here's your job for the day, get it done by the end of the day, or they say, this is your responsibility from now on to take care of this aspect of our office or our business, and you say, yeah, nah, I'm like Jonah, I'm going to not do that because I don't want to. You say, well, that's it, it's over. Mom and Dad are never going to bring this up again. They're never going to ask me to mow the lawn. They're never going to ask me to clean my room. My boss is never going to give me that job again. I'm free and clear. I'm off the hook. I never have to do that. That's not how it works. Just because you disobey once doesn't mean you'll never have to obey again. Just because you disobey once doesn't mean you will never have to obey again. This was Jonah's approach. Well, I'm good. I don't have to go to Nineveh now. I'll do whatever else God wants, but not that. But he actually does it. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter on the first day. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You may think, well, God's punishing Jonah. He's sending him to Nineveh. But it's actually an act of grace. God is giving him grace. Jonah, you've got another opportunity to make a different decision, an opportunity to obey, grace to do what's right, grace to obey, grace to honor me, not to honor yourself. Where in God's grace right now is he giving you a chance to make a different choice, to honor him, not to reject him, to obey him, not to run and rebel? If he is, or when he does, what are you going to do with that grace? What choice are you going to make? The Romans 6:1, well, I can just keep going. God's going to give me more grace. Or the Romans 6:2, I'm going to be so amazed by the fact that I got grace that I'm going to do it different this time. What choice are you going to make? Romans 6:1 or Romans 6:2? God also gives grace to rebels by warning them. He warns them. That's what God did with Jonah to Nineveh. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city, and on the first day's walk, then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God warns Nineveh, you are disobedient, you're rebelling, stop. He warned Jonah. He warned Jonah with the fish, before that the lot, before that the storm. And while he was being warned, the sailors were being warned. He also warned Jonah because Jonah knew what God's word said. He was a prophet. And he also warns Jonah the way he warns everyone ever born, Christian or not, through their conscience. Way back in January when we started this series, we learned from Jiminy Cricket that a conscience is that still small voice that people won't listen to. And always to let your conscience be your guide. Not because Jiminy Cricket said it, because the conscience is from God. So where in God's grace right now is he warning you? Where can you see the light, hear the siren, hear the bells, hear the alarms? Are you listening? In his grace, are you paying attention to what God is saying? Or are you like Jonah chapter 1, running and doing your own thing? Are you listening to the grace God has given you to warn you? God gives grace to rebels. He allows them to repent. He allows them to repent. Look at verses 5 through 9. Look at what the people do when they hear Jonah's message. You realize that Jonah said like 8 words, right? What do you say? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he, that all we have recorded that he said. And here's what God does with that message. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will relent and, or turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? In his grace, God gives Nineveh 40 days. 40 days to respond, 40 days to repent. His warning, his instruction is repent. He didn't have to give Nineveh one day. He didn't have to give them 1 minute, let alone 40 days. He allowed them to repent. He allowed Jonah to repent. He allowed the sailors to repent. This is the entire purpose of sending a prophet. This is the entire purpose God sent every prophet in Scripture. This is the reason God gave us his word. He includes prophecies. He tells us the future to allow us to change, to allow us to repent and respond. God sends prophets and gives prophecies to bring about repentance, restoration, and redemption. That's the purpose. It's not to tell us what's going to happen in the future. That's a byproduct. It's that he gives it to them. He gives prophecies and prophets to bring about repentance, restoration, and redemption. That's the goal. When you read, when you hear God's word, when you hear he says about the consequences of sin and the future of people who do sin continually, when you hear about where sin will take you, what it will cost you, and what he does to people, what he will do to you if you continue where you're going, what is your response? Is it like Jonah? I'm going to keep going. I'm going my way. I'm going to rebel. I'm going to run. I'm not going to worry about what God says. That's an option. I don't take it seriously. Or, like Nineveh, do you take it seriously? Do you humble yourself? Do you believe God? Do you repent and change and turn away from your sin? Do you turn to God? Do you realize the grace that you don't deserve that you've been given? Do you realize the mercy that you've been given? The fact that you deserve everything that's opposite, and God says, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you mercy. God gives grace to rebels. He gives it to them by listening to them. God gives grace to rebels. He listens to them. He listens to them. I'm going to go back. You can listen as I read from chapter 1 and chapter 2. On the ship, verse 14 and 15 of chapter 1, God says, therefore, Jonah records, therefore, talking about the sailors, they cried to the Lord and said, we pray thee, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they, the sailors, picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. God heard Jonah from inside the fish. Chapter 2, verse 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered, or he can't answer if he didn't hear. And then we just saw the fact that God heard the Ninevites. The picture here of this proclamation, it says, let neither man nor beast nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let a man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry out mightily to God. Yet, yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, the violence that is in his hands. So the king proclaims this, and we say, well, it's just, you know, it's one of those laws. We hear all these laws. We don't really pay attention. In this case, this is what exactly what happened. They followed the king's word to the letter because he said, who can tell if God will turn and relent? Verse 10, then God saw their works, and he turned. He relented. God will always hear your prayer of repentance. He will always hear it. He will always say yes, no matter who you are or where you are. God always hears the prayer of repentance and says yes, no matter who you are or where you are. Do you need to do what the Ninevites did, what the sailors did, and what Jonah finally did in the belly of the fish? For the first time in your life, do you need to turn and repent? Admit and confess your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for his grace and mercy because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Because of the most amazing act, the most undeserved gift of grace. Is that what you need to do this morning? Maybe you can say, Pastor Brian, I've done that. Like Jonah, I know the truth. Do you need to repent of the fact that you've been running from God? You've been choosing to say, this part of God's word is optional, or that part of God's word is optional. Pastor Brian, I've been all about me, not all about God. I've been all about my mission, my goals, not about God's. Even though I know better, Pastor Brian, I didn't do better. I didn't do what's right. Even though I know what's right, I'm not doing it. Even though I know what's wrong, I'm still doing it. When you repent, when you ask for forgiveness, God will listen. He will always say yes, and he will always give you grace and mercy, like he did for the Ninevites. Verse 10, when God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. God gave Jonah grace when he repented. Verse 15 of chapter 1. So they picked him up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. God then is honored and glorified. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifices to the Lord and took vows. He did it for Jonah. He did it for the Ninevites. He did it for the sailors. He does it for you, no matter who you are or where you are. Why would God do this? Why would God even listen to a man or a woman, a child who's rebelling? Why would God listen to the Ninevites, to Jonah, to the sailors? Why would he listen, let alone answer, let alone say yes to their cry for help, for their prayer? Why would God listen to you and to me? Because God gives grace to rebels. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. Many of you are familiar with Jeremiah chapter 18, where God sends Jeremiah to a potter, and he uses the potter to illustrate that God is the potter and we're the clay, and God gets to say what we get made into, how we're made, when we're made, what we look like. But right after he does that and he teaches Jeremiah about the sovereignty and the authority that he has, this is what he says in chapter 18, 7 through 10. God speaking to Jeremiah said, the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. But God doesn't stop there. He says, verse 9, in the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build up, to plant, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. God says, this is how it works. You hear my word. You do it. You obey it. Blessings follow. You hear my word. You don't do it. You ignore it. You get no blessings. In fact, you will lose some of the blessings I already promised you. God's blessings are always connected to obedience. God's blessing is always connected to obedience. Now be careful. That doesn't mean your life will be perfect. If I follow God's word, it's going to be perfect. No problems, no difficulties, no heartache, no sorrow. We just finished Joseph on Sunday nights. Joseph, a man that said, no, I won't sleep with my boss's wife, and got sent to prison. He did what was right. And he suffered. He was faithful in prison. He interpreted dreams and was forgotten. God's word repeatedly records about the fact that Joseph was righteous. It also records that God was with him. God was with him while he was in prison. What better blessing is there than God being with you? What better blessing is there than God being with you? Is God with you? Is God blessing you because you're being obedient? Not is your life perfect, you have no problems, but God is blessing you. Or are you missing out? Are you missing out on blessings because God's not with you, because you're disobedient? God is pursuing you, disciplining you, even punishing you because you thought you knew better. You aren't doing better, even though you know better. Even though you know it's right, you're not doing it. Even though you know it's wrong, you're still doing it. You're rebelling. You're being disobedient. Are you missing out on God's blessings because you are not being obedient? God gives grace to rebels. He gives undeserved mercy. God gives you mercy each and every time you sin. The most important way, the greatest way, the ultimate way God did this was through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. What have you done or what are you doing with God's grace? Are you doing Romans 6:1? I'm going to get grace, so I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you doing Romans 6:2? I'm so amazed that God would give me grace, I'm going to do everything I can with his help to live differently, to live in the right way. God gives grace to rebels by recalling some of them to the mission they rejected. Just because you disobey once doesn't mean you will never have to obey. Where is God right now giving you a second chance to make a different choice? Grace to get a different choice, to obey rather than rebel, to honor and glorify him instead of reject him and run from him. If he's giving you that choice, when he gives you that choice, what choice are you going to make? Romans 6:1 or Romans 6:2? God gives us grace by warning us. Where is God warning you? Where do you see the lights, hear the siren, hear the alarm bells, and are ignoring it? Are you going to go your way or God's way? God gives you grace, gives me grace, gives rebels grace by allowing us to repent. That's why he sent prophets. That's why he gives us prophecies to bring about repentance, restoration, and redemption. When you read God's word, when you hear what he says, when you hear what he says about the consequences and results of sin, where it will take you, where it will lead you, what it will cost you, are you like Jonah and say, I'm going, I'm going to do my own thing? Or are you like Nineveh saying, I'm going to repent, I'm going to change directions, I'm going to listen to God's word? God gives rebels grace by listening to them. God will always hear a prayer of repentance and say yes, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Do you need to do this morning what the Ninevites did, what the sailors did, what Jonah did in the belly of the fish? Repent. Say, I'm going the wrong way. I admit that I've been doing what God says not to do, or I haven't been doing what God says I should do. And for the first time, you're going to say, I know better and I want to do better. I'm not going to be like Jonah anymore. God gives us grace, those of us who are rebels, all of us, by keeping his word. Is God with you? Is he blessing you because you're obedient? Or are you missing out? Is he saying, I was going to bless you, but because you're disobedient, you're not going to get that blessing? Are you missing out on that? Are you missing out on the presence of God that Joseph experienced because he was obedient, even though he was in prison? How do you need to respond to Jonah this morning? To God's grace, the gift of grace. What has God shown you this morning that you need to do because he has given you grace? Grace, grace. What has he spoken to you about? Are you going to be a hearer this morning about grace and continue on your way? Are you going to remember what God says about grace and do? Change directions like the Ninevites to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the grace that you give us. Even this morning, as all of us have sinned in one way or another, and we deserve punishment. We deserve not to have grace, not to have mercy, but we deserve to be separated eternally from you. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the grace that you gave us through him. Lord, help us to not have a Romans 6:1 attitude, Just assume that we're going to get grace. Assume that we deserve it. Assume that it's always going to be there. Help us to have a Romans 6:2 attitude, to be amazed and to, with your help, be saying, may it never be, that it's unthinkable that we would continue in sin because we know grace is coming, but that we would respond to the grace we've already been given and change directions. Like the Ninevites, that we would cry out to you and ask for your help, ask for grace. Or if there's any here that need to wrestle with the ultimate question, have they accepted the grace that's come with Jesus Christ? Help them to seek out this afternoon as we fellowship and eat together. Someone they trust, someone they know has received that grace, and talk to them about it. For those of us who know the truth, may we be responding to what you brought to mind as we read the passage this week or as we heard from you this morning, where we are choosing to do what you say not to, or choosing not to do what you say to do. We know what's right. We know what's good, but we're not. And we've been given grace because of it. Help us to realize the amount of grace we've received, how undeserving we are, and to grow and to change and to live differently with your help and through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.